Welcome back to the final half hour of the KWFM reunion special. More now with Charlie Morris on Tucson of the late 70s and how he got his foot in the door of KWFM.
So I was in high school. I drive down to Nogales and I sucked. I was the worst DJ on the planet. Like noon to eight, or it was really odd in Nogales because we just turn it off whenever the burrow quit on the treadmill, So anyway, I would make these tapes every weekend. And then in the middle of the week, I'd drive down to KWFM. Alan Browning, another demo tape. I mean, he must have had 50 of these. But every time I'd give these to him, he'd go, I told you, we can't hire you until you're 18, right? So my birthday is December 20th. So sure enough, December 21st, 1978, I get this phone call. It's the holidays. And it's always hard to fill the schedule during the holidays. I get this call from Alan, and he's like, I can't find anybody to work. You suck, but come down here. I need somebody to fill the overnight slot. I wound up working overnights from then until finally I went through puberty and had to start shaving and stuff. So, but yeah, it's interesting because I talk to young people nowadays and I'm like, you just don't understand what it was like. It was a big deal. You know, you say, hey, I was a DJ back. And they're like, so what? You know, what club did you work in? You know, but the point is this, is the context. There were three television stations, maybe. They would go off the air about, 11 o'clock? Yeah. There were no cell phones. An ATM was an oddity until like 1980. Maybe there were two of them in Tucson.
I remember when the Valley National Bank, you used to be able to withdraw $5.
Yeah. That was a big thing. $5 will last you all night.
If you
go
had
down
$5,
to the night train.
Right?
Drink and drown $3. You know, that's all you needed. Cigarettes were 75 cents.
Tuesday is a real good boo. Tuesday. That's right, buckaroos and you little buckarettes out there. It's booze day again this Tuesday at the San Diego House. In fact, every Tuesday they offer drafts and glasses of champagne for only 50 cents, plus double well drinks and two-for-one appetizers. That's this Tuesday from 4 to 8 p.m., Booze Day Tuesday.
Roll out the carpet.
Yeah.
Strike up the bank.
Downtown at the San Diego House, 222 South Church.
But no, there was no cell phones, no ATM, no cable TV, no MTV, no music videos. They hadn't even been invented yet.
So radio was like the campfire.
Yes, radio was the campfire. You know, there's this movie about this kid who started Facebook. I don't know his name. But this kid, he didn't really invent Facebook. I think all this kid did really was reinvent the radio. Because, you know, Jim was talking about the music, but it was really more than the music. The reason KW was important in your life was the context of it. This is how you came together with your friends. This is how you knew what was going on, what was cool. If you didn't have it on, you felt like you were alone. You felt like you weren't part of something.
After a five-year hiatus from the music business, John Lennon released his album Double Fantasy in November of 1980. We heard the track Just Like Starting Over on every radio station. Then on December 8th, the unthinkable happened.
Well, it was a Monday night, Cook was on the air doing his regular shift, was 6 to 10, and I came on after him 10 to 2. So I used to show up at the station about a half an hour early. Cook and I would hang out and talk and whatever. I think Devo was the King Biscuit Flower Hour for the night. And we were talking about the AP machine. It was like a big typewriter, like a 100-pound typewriter, just going constantly. And it had bells for the different severities for the stories. If you heard five bells going off, you better go over to the teletype machine because all hell is breaking loose. So it's about 20 minutes to 10. And I hear three bells. So I'm like, okay, that's kind of unusual. So I went back and saw that John Lennon had been shot in New York City. So I ripped it off and brought it in, showed it to Cook. And he was like, okay, well, he'll probably be okay. And then about 5-10 minutes later, four bells. Go get it. John Lennon has been seriously injured in New York City. And then a few minutes later, five bells. John Lennon is dead. And with that, it was 10 o'clock at night and time for me to do my show. I can't remember how long Cook hung around, but I don't think it was too long. It just pretty much left me playing. I just decided off the top of my head, I was just going to play John Lennon tunes. I do remember that sometime during the night, I played a Paul McCartney tune by mistake, and I actually just took it right off the air and said, sorry. Just playing Lennon tunes and answering the phone because people were freaked out. Of course, I saw years later, and everybody's probably pretty familiar with the Howard Cosell Monday Night Football clip where he announced it on Monday Night Football. And a lot of people heard it there and then tuned us in and heard all the Lennon music, and people were just freaking out.
Well, Charlie said whenever he is about, I can't remember what time it was, but I was doing the morning show, and Charlie said, if you're waking up right now, prepare yourself.
Right.
And I'm thinking, oh my God, what is this? And then Charlie, that was the first I'd heard of it. And I got to work, and we were all playing nothing but Beatles, and I talked to Lee, and I said, what are we going to do? And he said, hold on, I'll call you back in a few minutes. So he calls me back and says, we're going to have a memorial at Reed Park.
Right.
And this was about 8:30, 9 o'clock that we started announcing it. And so we were going to have the memorial at Reed Park at noon. So we started announcing it, and at noon, we had about 3,000 people at Reed Park.
And there's that beautiful picture in the paper. It's on the KWFM website of everybody holding hands in a circle around the park. It was just a stunning moment. I don't think I slept that entire night, and me and my wife went down there the next day. I don't think I slept for a couple of days.
We started playing Beatles continuously on your show, then on my show, then Jim. We played it all day. Everybody was pretty distraught, and Jim called me in the afternoon. He says, David's not coming in tonight. Just forget it. And I said, well, how long do we keep playing Beatles? And he said, we're going to play Beatles until midnight. And he says, what I want you to do is at 12 midnight, write, say something, right? So I wrote out this, I can't remember, it wasn't a poem or something. And he says, say something and turn the transmitter off.
Wow, that was great.
And I did. I actually turned it off and left it off for 3 or 4 minutes. And then we went back on the air and tried to go on. But it was a very... I think that was kind of like a point in the timeline where a lot of things changed.
The winds of change blew again. The protest songs of the 60s gave way to rock, pop, and disco of the 70s. Near the end of the decade, KWFM delivered the next evolution of music, the beginning of what would become alternative rock. David LaRussa and KWFM introduced Tucson to another sound for music.
Anything That's Rock and Roll was a show that I had actually developed and first started in Buffalo at WBUF, which was based on a show, a DJ at a station I worked at in Rochester, WCMF. Suzanne King did a show back in 1977 called Surf's Up from a line in a Blondie song. And she was playing all the new punk stuff that was coming out, but not just the new punk stuff, but also the stuff that inspired, like the MC5 and the Stooges and the Seeds and all those good bands from back then. And she totally inspired me. I remember going to see the Talking Heads with her at the Rochester Institute of Technology cafeteria. So I started the show in Buffalo, left there, came out here, and after being here for a few months, convinced Jim Ray to let me do it. Tuesday nights, I think it started out as an hour long, and then it went to 2 hours. And then it went to, just take the whole Tuesday night and do that show. And I was, again, doing pretty much based on what Suzanne started, just playing a lot of the new punk and the new wave. Nothing ever too hardcore, but also played the old stuff as well, mixed into it. Had lots of interviews from artists and invited the local bands to send in tapes, which I'd also done in Buffalo, and just got deluged with tapes from local bands. And, bands like the Surfers, which became Green on Red, Giant Sandworms, which are now Giant Sand, and Howie and Giant Sand just played the Queen Elizabeth Hall in England on Thursday night. I mean, a lot of these musicians are still, very viable in the days leading up to this reunion. I've been in contact with a lot of folks through Facebook, and it's the one thing that just amazes me about KWFM and its audience is just how passionate the audience was about the station, not only then, but still. I mean, the station still inspires a lot of passion.
This Friday and Saturday night at the Catalina and El Dorado Theater. The Beatles in the Magical Mystery Tour and the Magic Christian, starring Peter Sellers, Ringo Starr, and Donald Sutherland. have an invitation not to miss this exclusive showing at midnight this Friday and Saturday at the Catalina and El Dorado Theater.
One could argue music videos started back in the 1960s with the Beatles and movies like A Hard Day's Night. KWFM initiated the Rock and Roll Picture Show way before MTV, bringing music videos to Tucson.
Rock and Roll Picture Show started at the Egg Garden. This was, I don't believe there was cable in Tucson at that time.
No,
if it was, it was very sporadic. So nobody had heard.
That's why we simulcast, remember?
Yeah, nobody had heard of MTV yet. And
MTV did not exist.
Okay. So we were getting all these videos from the record companies, and we would take them over to K-Gun, and would put all the videos onto one tape, and then we'd go rent one of those huge
projection TVs.
Right. It took six guys to move it in there, and it was as big as, you know, 50 feet wide, seems like. I mean, it took up the whole Egg Garden. So we put it at the back of the Egg Garden, and there was room back there for, what, 20 people, 30 people, something like that.
Sure.
So we started doing video parties. And once again, to the credit of forward-thinking Lee Dombrowski, he hooked up with the folks at K-Gun, and they said, we can do a simulcast. We'll put the music on the radio. We'll put the video on TV. So there came the Rock and Roll Picture Show. First one we did, we did it in a truck that was 125 degrees outside, and they were rolling the video inside. We later moved everything inside to the studio. We did three shows, and one of the shows came on during a sweeps period, a ratings period, and it did real well in the 10 o'clock hour, so K-Gun was excited about that. People knew the Rock and Roll Picture Show. They knew how to get those videos. Some of the videos that we would play would end up being brand new videos, never heard before on the radio, never seen before, obviously. And then next thing you know, we start getting requests. That was one thing about the listeners to that radio station. They were responsive. If we were playing a record that they liked, we heard about it. Same if we were playing a record they didn't like. They had no problem expressing themselves.
A long-serving member of KWFM, Lee Dombrowski acted as sales manager or general manager for most of the 12 years he worked at the station. Lee reflects on the successes of KWFM and also the tragedy that came to one of our co-workers and friends, Bob Cook.
You know, we had some great people at that station. I mean, it would take a long time to mention everyone, but everybody brought something to the table that was very unique in taste. Was very unique in their abilities. And, of course, Bob Cook comes to mind right away with that. And what an unfortunate situation that one of the really tremendous talents of our time and probably today would be a stellar star in a major market, as is Matt Siegel for the past 25 years at WXKS in Boston, being number one in Morning Drive. But Bob Cook was a very unique guy. I mean, he was to watch him work. I used to love to come in the evenings if I was coming across town after a dinner or something, and stop in and just watch him work, because nothing was really pre-planned. Nothing. He didn't set up bits. It was natural. And I think the great thing about Cook was you felt like you were sitting at a table across from him, and he was talking to you specifically. And that's one of those great attributes that the great ones have, that they don't talk to someone, they speak to him, and they think that, you know, make you the individual. And of course, you know, his crazy bits that he would do, that would just pop into his mind, and I'm so glad that we're able to capture some of those on the website. Specifically, I remember a time when we used to do the Tuesday night rock show over at the Outlaw, just north Stone. And every time Cook showed up to do that, of course, you know, the lines were just amazing. And I know talking to the owners of the place, they would tell me that, you know, they put through 3,000, 3,500, and some nights 4,000 people, and they'd come to see Bob Cook. Because he was, you know, he had that off-the-wall comedy. And the great thing about Bob was that he didn't have to be rude and it didn't have to be blue humor for it to be really effective. And he was just magnificent at what he did. And I really to this day, feel so badly about that entire tragic part of the history of that radio station.
That's Nick Lowe and Switchboard Susan at FM 92. Also at the Jefferson Starship with Jane and Joe Walsh at the station. Jim Brady here. I'll see you tomorrow at 2. Bob Cook's up for you next. Here's The Who at KWFM.
The Who call it a bargain. Marked down from $129.95. Now slashed price to $92.9. The best rates in town. Jim Brady's out the door. This is BC with you. 7 minutes after 7. Mrs. Cook, your son Bobby's on the radio.
Like what you hear.
This must be KWFM.
It.
Quiet on the set, will you? This is real radio, man. This ain't Sears radio. This is real radio. All right? The forecast calls for a slight lunacy up until midnight, and then we just break all hell breaks loose, and then we go crazy, and then by tomorrow morning everything's calm and we're kind of sleeping. That's my personal forecast. The weather forecast looks like this: fair and cool tonight with a low of 45. That's some hot and nasty stuff you got there, partner. And it's 125 an ounce. Come on, come on. Everything can't be cents, you know. 8 after 7 o'clock Tuesday night in the Naked Pueblo. What's your story? No, that's not. Cut. Start it over again. Take 2 then on that, please. And action. The night train has South Shore and Snowblind tonight. For your listening and dancing pleasure, the Make-Believe Ballroom has... South Shore and Snowblind is at the Night Train tonight. Freestyle at the Embers, Bob Meehan at the Depot. Los Lasers taking the night off. They'll be back at the Country Club Lounge tomorrow. Straight Shot Troop Deluxe at the Oxbow. Stumble In with David Dollar. Carrie Nation at Faces. Gasper and the Dukes at the Rusty Scupper. Pawnbroker going with the Breeze Band. Street Pajama, Mike and Merle at Tequila Mockingbird. Subterranean Blues Band of the Old Time Inn and the Kamikaze Blues Band at Bogey's. Are you applauding or just tapping your cigarettes down?
LSMFT.
This is BC with you, with the late John Lennon from the latest Double Fantasy. KWFN.
Bubble.
Stay high. Have a nice night. We'll see you.
As the host of the KWFM Jazz Show in the 80s, Chris Ryan befriended a loyal community. He also wore many other hats as the last remaining DJ when the format changed. He also had an unforgettable interview with the one and only Frank Zappa.
Another phase of the KWFM reunion. I'm Jim Ray, and on the phone I have a good friend of mine, Chris Ryan in Cincinnati. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing fantastic. How you doing, Jim? Good to hear your voice.
It's great to hear your voice, and I'm doing well. We've been sitting around here for the last couple of hours talking about great memories of KWFM, what it meant to us, what it meant to the people, the listeners, and all the stuff that the radio station had been through. And I think you and I went through a little interview with Frank Zappa, an episode there that actually we've become famous for. We've been published, right?
I guess so, yeah. Jim Hardy was telling me, our general manager, he said he was on a flight, and in the airline magazine, there was an interview with Zappa where he was reliving or recounting that particular night. Well, I remember I hadn't been at KW that long. I was still pretty young, and I just knew that Zappa liked to come through Tucson, and when he came to town, he'd hit KWFM, then he'd go out to the night train and have a few drinks. And so I was in the studio, and sure enough, he comes in. It was, I think, 81, and it was supporting a double album called You Are What You Is. And, you know, he comes in the studio and basically sits down, and it wasn't as much an interview. It was more like I just swung the microphone over, and he took over the radio station. And first thing he wants to do, he gets on the microphone, he says, first thing I'd like to do is play my new record. And it's a double album. It's four sides of unfamiliar music, which at that point in our evolution of the station, we were playing familiar music, given the directive by you, Jim, to go ahead, you know, play a few songs from the new album, play some things that people know, like Montana, and, you know, some of the Cosmic Debris and some of the things people were familiar with. But Frank didn't want to do that. And so once the record starts playing, the hotline, which is, you know, that little phone by the control board that had a little red light, and I know when that rings, I'm supposed to pick it up because you're usually the one on the other end. You called and you said, Chris, we can't play the whole record. Well, meanwhile, Frank's in the background and he's hearing me have this conversation, and he knows that something is not going quite the way he wanted it to. So after that song was over, we came back to Frank, and he said, look, I'd like to play my new record. I don't want to get my friend Chris here in trouble, but if I'm not able to play this new record, I'm out of here. And I'm in the background kind of doing the finger under the neck thing, saying, Frank, no, don't say anything. And he got up, he got, indignant, took a stack of tickets for the next night's concert out of his pocket, and he said, I'm out of here. If they're not going to play my new record, I'm leaving. So he walked out on me, and he signed a poster in the hallway that says, play my G-damn record, and Frank Zappa's name below it, and I still have that framed. I think it's on the KWFM website. And he left, and he went to the night train, and he had a good night, but then the next night, the music's the concert at Centennial Hall, he's on stage, and he even mentions it there, and he tells everybody in the concert, call that program director, tell him to play my record.
And they did.
And I think there was probably a good week there where we had bad publicity in the newspaper and, the alternative press. Everybody was jumping on it because, he was using it as an example of radio being programmed by consultants.
Yeah, I think he referred to it as the suits, and at that time, I don't think I owned a suit. So.
No, but in his mind, we were everything that was wrong with radio. In fact, right. He came out with a record later on called Kill Ugly Radio and a couple of other records. And in one record, he actually put liner notes in there thanking all the DJs that had kind of screwed him over through the years, and my name is actually in the liner notes of one of his later records on Rhino Records.
Hey, well, one thing that you did great at KWFM, you did a lot of great things, but one thing that I think you're more famous for than anybody is the Sunday Night Jazz Show.
That was fun because all the record companies would send us all those records asking us to play them, and I must have built up a huge record library, some great stuff. Chick Corea, Stanley Clark, there was all kinds of fusion jazz going on, Billy Cobham, and it was completely free form. I think, just based on the calls that I would get from people, I think a lot of babies were conceived during that show because it seemed like there was a lot of hanky-panky going on Sunday night. I think all of us at the time, we took for granted the fact that it was such a special time, not only for music, but just for radio. It'll never probably go back that way again, and it was just an honor to be in a city that embraced the music so much and supported it. And we were all much luckier than we even knew we were at the time, that we were a part of something where created a lot of good memories for people, and we had a lot of really incredible memories ourselves.
We just want you to know that your ears are left-time T to point-time K.
W-F-M!
Tucson, Arizona.
This has been the KWFM Reunion Special. There were many, many broadcasters that walked through the doors of KWFM. Folks you didn't hear from on the special, you can probably find on the KWFM Tribute website. Google KWFM and you'll find it. Time for thank yous. Thank you to Tim Richards, Chris Paddock, and the Clear Channel Tucson family for making this reunion special possible. Thank you to Tim Warden and Las Solanas websites for keeping up the KWFM Tribute website for all of these years. And thank you, Tucson, for letting us into your cars and homes and taking us along for your parties in Sabino, bonfires in the desert, and cruising down Speedway.